Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Matt Bream, 24/7 Sports, does a terrific job on the Oregon Ducks, all things Oregon Ducks. He joins us now. Matt Bream, what are you doing today?
What I'm doing right now is watching this Bucks stuff unfold. The NBA, I've got my attention towards that. It's not Ducks stuff at all, but I was doing some work earlier on history of Ty Thompson's ranking boost and highest-rated quarterback now in program history to ever commit to the Ducks.
Let's talk about this Milwaukee Bucks development. As you saw it, the power in it, and during the commercial break, I was thinking about something, Matt. You tell me what you think. Like, there's speculation that the league officials have gone to the Bucks locker room. There's some speculation that they're trying to get the team back out onto the court to play this game because obviously TV is sitting in limbo waiting for it. I'm also, though, sort of the mindset that the true power in what the Bucks did would rely upon the Bucks actually forfeiting the game. Like, isn't it more impactful if the Milwaukee Bucks forfeit this game and take the loss?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it would really tell you that this is serious for them. That you have players with messages on the back of their uniforms talking about, they want equality and how many more, and Breonna Taylor and all of that. And this would back that up, all those messages they're sending. And a lot of people don't remember this probably. My friends were texting me about how crazy it was. And I reminded them, they have a player on their team, Sterling Brown, who's in the middle of a lawsuit with the city of Milwaukee, of being attacked and racially profiled by a police officer. And, the police offered him $400,000 to go away, and he said no. And so this, not only does this hit home recently in terms of the killing in the state of Wisconsin just a couple of days ago, but there's literally a player on the team who's been racially profiled by a Wisconsin police department, the city of Wisconsin police department. And so they are literally invested into being heard.
Matt Bream, 24/7 Sports, is with us. This game was supposed to be on NBA TV. The later games on the schedule, including the Lakers-Blazers, scheduled for TNT. What do you think happens in those games?
Oh, how do they play? How do you follow this up and play if you're those players? And if you're the same message, if you're behind wanting to have this, a lot of the players talked about how they were going to use this as a platform to get their message across and be heard. And how do you play? From a TV perspective, I would love to see if they could get some people from the Bucks organization to come on and talk about this and explain why they're not playing and voice their concerns. And sometimes things are bigger than sports. And sometimes it's hard for us to come to the realization of that. And today is one of those days where a team who has aspirations of winning it all, like you said, is potentially willing to forfeit a playoff game. It's one thing to boycott a preseason game or even a regular season game or an all-star game or something, but it's a whole nother level when it's a playoff game. And you're a team that's potentially capable of winning it all, and you're willing to give yourself a loss.
What do you do if you're Adam Silver? because if Adam Silver puts a loss on the Milwaukee Bucks, I do think the NBA will be roundly criticized by some and applauded by others. And he's got a TNT problem looming because those are multi-million dollar games later in the schedule, including the Blazers-Lakers game.
That's why he's paid millions of dollars and I'm not. I think you try and postpone it, see if you can play it tomorrow, see if you can play it today. I still think embracing, if it was me, I would embrace this and say, hey, look, you don't want to play today. We're okay. We support you. But let's go a step further. And instead of just not talking to anybody, let's fill the airtime that we were going to use for this game and have discussions about what's happening and why you're doing this and voice your concerns and fill in the average viewer who may not relate to you at all because of their skin color and understand and teach them and use this as a teaching moment to grow the NBA community and bring awareness to, you know, things you're trying to achieve.
Matt Prehm, 24/7 Sports, is with us.
Sorry, I didn't mean to talk NBA.
No, it's good. It's good. We got to talk about what matters, right? And this is a big story that is developing in the NBA. When I look at the college athletes and I look at the Pac-12 in general, and I'm going to shift back to the Ducks a little bit here, but you've got negative recruiting that is going on. Jonathan Smith yesterday said he says he's hearing some of that. What are you hearing in the recruiting world as it comes to the Pac-12 not planning to play in the fall?
I mean, Ed Orgeron yesterday went on the record saying that they're a little short at cornerback and that they're looking for senior corners that are players for teams that aren't playing and seeing if they're going to enter the portal and see if they can get them in and help the program. And he specifically mentioned nickel. And it's like, wow, Oregon has a couple guys on their team that could definitively fill that role. Two of them are seniors. One of them's a draft eligible junior. That's a first round draft pick. Would they go and play? Probably not. That's just me guessing. From in terms of negative recruiting, I mean, it's going to come out there. But at the same time, Jonathan Smith, I heard that interview. He answered it correctly. And Mario Cristobal could easily flip that around of saying, look, you want to go play for a coach who's negatively talking about another coach actively caring about your well-being? Why would you do that? And it's a very – I mean, it's almost kind of like I think – if I'm Mario Cristobal, if I'm Jonathan Smith or any other Pac-12 coach or Big Ten coach, I'm kind of hoping a school from outside the conference is going to try and say that, because then you literally just can go, look, I care for your well-being as a person way more than you as a player. And our school, our athletic conference, that's our foremost, most important thing, is your well-being as a person. Not as a school, not as an athlete, and what you do between the white lines. You could help us, yes, but we care more about you as a person, and that's going to win over. It's going to win over mom. It's going to win over dad. It's going to win over the player, and then it's genuine too, because it backed it up.
Matt Prehm, 24/7 Sports, is with us. The questions in the spring for Penei Sewell, Javon Holland feel like no-brainers. Any chance either one of those guys suits up in any capacity if this is in fact going to be January, February, March football season?
I don't see it. The risk is far outweighs the reward. What does Penei Sewell have to prove to anybody? I mean, he won the Outland Trophy last year as a sophomore, first ever sophomore offensive tackle to do that. Holland is a first-round grade today. Todd McShay released his ESPN top 50 rankings and for draft prospects, and he's 20th. CBS Sports did it yesterday, and he was a top 20 player there. All the mocks are saying Holland is a first-round pick, and I would go a step further. We shouldn't see Thomas Graham. We shouldn't see Diomede Lenore, and I really think you could make a case that we might not see Brady Breeze. And the reason why I say that is Brady Breeze's stock will never be higher than it is today because he's a Rose Bowl defensive MVP. He had such a huge game against Utah in the Pac-12 championship game. A couple weeks prior to that, he had such a huge game against USC with the pick six touchdown or fumble return for a touchdown. And he, I think he led the team in tackles in that game. He had a huge game, I think, against the Beavers. He made the fumble strip, I believe, late in the game to ice that one. Brady Breeze's stock will never be higher than it is right now unless he can play out a 12, 8, 10 game, whatever game, you know, amount of games schedule they're going to play at the highest level of production that he's shown in his first 3 years at Oregon. And I'm banking, you know, that probably doesn't happen. And so you could argue Brady Breeze could also be a guy that really sits there and looks and says, should I play as a senior? Because my stock right now is as high as ever. I mean, Pro Football Focus said he's the best safety in the Pac-12. Coming into this year, you could say the same thing about Nick Pickett, the other guy that has manned the same position as Breeze, 3 year starter. What is he gonna need to prove? And he's got all the film, and if he hurts himself, he takes himself out of all the training and all the that leads up to the draft. And then if he does get drafted, or if he doesn't get drafted, but lands on a team as a practice squad undrafted free agent, you know, he gets hurt during February, he can't do any of that.
Matt Prehm, 24/7 Sports, is our guest. Matt, before I cut you loose, I wonder about the psychology of Mario Cristobal. He's so focused. He's so maniacal. I mean, you can tell he just pours himself into this job. How will he respond when being asked to refocus here? I'm getting him on the show. I think he's coming on later this week, but you've been around him. Like, I have to wonder the psychology or maybe like the letdown that he and the coaching staff have to be feeling.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly going to be a letdown, but I think the biggest strength of Mario Cristobal's coaching style is he really hammers at home and he really follows it through of control what you can control. And he can't control if they're playing or not. And that is something that is to his core and to the program's core with Cristobal as the head coach of only worry about the things that you can control. I mean, he talked about how, you know, they're going to have some opportunities for training with the team and, you know, the guys were zeroed in on what they needed to do, you know, getting up to the date when they can't postpone the 2020 fall season. I think it will help everybody across the board who aren't playing that they get these 12 hours of practice and 5 hours of it can be on the field type instruction. That hasn't happened for football. Basketball has had that for a long period of time where they could get five guys on a court or three guys on a court and they could literally do, you know, some workouts and they could play two on two or one on one type things with coaches there and have a ball and all that stuff. Football never got that. They had coaches out there doing some agility training, but nothing with an actual football. And so at least this fall, they'll be able to go out and do some kind of skill development with a football, with coaches present. And that could be enough to really, and you know, keep coaches engaged, keep players engaged, because Cristobal mentioned how this is a rare instance in which the athlete is given more time to get better at his craft while in college. And their eligibility clock doesn't tick down. It's extended. So they have more time to work individually on some stuff and get better individually with coaches present than, you know, they've never been given before. And knowing Cristobal, they'll maximize that.
Matt Prehm, 24/7 Sports. Shams has reported, too, that the Rockets and Thunder will be boycotting Game 5. This looks like it's going to cascade. Tonight, there'll be no basketball. Ultimately, it looks like Adam Silver may leave the decision on whether or not the Bucks forfeit the game to the Orlando Magic. I feel like if he punt, you can't punt that, can you? You're the commissioner of the NBA.
No, you've got to step in and say, look, we're not going to, the game isn't played. This is an emotional time. You know, a lot of our players are African American. a lot of our players have been very vocal about what's going on in social justice. And a lot of our players were very vocal about even coming down here, if that was the right move to make with everything that was going on. And you've got to be able to come forward and back your players and say, look, we're just going to press pause on the playoffs for a day or two and let emotions play themselves out and see if we can play this in a couple days.
Matt, I appreciate you, man, and take care of those kids of yours, and we'll get you back on soon.
Thanks, John.
Matt Prehm, 24/7 Sports, does a fantastic job covering all things Oregon, recruiting and football, and the big story obviously developing in the background today is now in the foreground. The Milwaukee Bucks, if you're just tuning in, walked off the court or did not take the court. Refused to play their game 5 tonight in the bubble in Orlando. Subsequently, multiple reports now that the Orlando Magic are not going to take that forfeit. They have also left the arena. The Rockets and Thunder players are now also boycotting game 5 of their series. LeBron has tweeted out emphatically that he is sick of this, and I can't read his tweet on the air because the FCC would not allow me. I don't believe the Lakers and Blazers will be playing tonight. Here's a question, or maybe something for people to think about who are trying to say this is political. The Milwaukee Bucks were trying to get on the phone, or in fact were on the phone in their locker room with the Attorney General in the state of Wisconsin. They are utilizing this as an opportunity to get in touch with someone who can actually make a tangible difference in the way that citizens are policed and laws are enforced. Antonio Daniels had a tweet that I want to read that I thought was important. He is saying, former Blazer, is saying essentially, instead of getting upset, if you're a basketball fan who's upset tonight that the entertainment isn't going to happen, instead of being prone to politicizing this, just ask yourself one little question. Do me a favor with an open mind and ask yourself this question. How did we get to the point where NBA players feel like their only way to be heard and taken seriously was to stop playing? Think about that. Basically, we have to stop playing, or we're not going to be taken seriously. Now, there are others who have come out. George Reister, who will be on tomorrow's show, said he's come out, he's on social media saying the players are losing their value by not suiting up. George is saying they should suit up, play, continue to talk before and after and during games, making statements about social justice during games. That's where players are more powerful. What do you think? Where does the power lie in this? Did the Milwaukee Bucks do the right thing? Are the NBA players doing the right thing by not suiting up and not playing? 503-417-7575. You have the floor. Former Oregon Duck football player, NFL football player George Reister on tomorrow's show. He's outspoken today as the Bucks have left the court, saying he thinks the Bucks are doing the wrong thing. Reister says that the Bucks should stay on the court, talk before and after games, where their platform is more visible, where they can be heard. They have left the court. I disagree with it. I think it's a powerful statement. I think they are being heard. I don't think you're going to see any NBA games played tonight. I want your reaction to what the players are doing. The Milwaukee Bucks, again, refused to take the court tonight in the bubble. 503-417-7575 is the number. JC's in Gresham. Go ahead, JC.
Hey, I love the show. 100% disagree with you. The reason why is a couple things before I bring it up. The Bucks are a 1 seed. Orlando's an 8 seed. It's not like the Bucks are down 2-1 or 3-1. They're going to win the series regardless if they forfeit this game or next game. But a couple of things I think people are missing. One is, let's say you have someone injured, right? And all of a sudden they're questionable. Why can't you say, we want to protest this game, give them extra game. That's one thought. Another thought is, what if there's fans in the stadium? All of a sudden, do they get their money back, or do they just don't get a refund? And this is going to be an unpopular opinion, but them protesting today, nothing's going to happen. Nothing changes overnight. So if you're going to protest, why not do it after the game? Why not have maybe a meeting before the game, but to do it right with the game? That's not Orlando's fault. So why should Orlando be penalized? Like, I can't come and choose when I want to work. Can you? Most people can't. So why is it okay for the Bucks to choose we're not going to play tonight and there should be no consequences? I don't agree with that at all. And I think it opens up a box where now you can get players rested. You can get players who want to play but can't play, give them an extra day rest. So where does it stop?
JC and Gresham essentially pointing out, like, in the case of the Blazers, if they decided to protest multiple nights, just wait till Damian Lillard comes back healthy, would that be a strategic advantage? Couple of things to unpack there. One, I love that dissenting viewpoints will be part of this show. It will always be part of this show. I'm never going to bark anybody down who comes on. But I just think the Bucks, I actually think if Adam Silver has the Bucks forfeit, there's more gravity to what they did today because there was a consequence. I'm not saying it makes them martyrs. I'm just saying there's a consequence to what they did. The impact of what they did, refusing to go onto the court, accepting that they could be fined, accepting that they could lose the game. They're basically saying none of that matters as much as us getting the ear of the Attorney General in the state of Wisconsin. The Bucks, apparently in the locker room, were attempting to get on the phone with the Attorney General in Wisconsin. So I do disagree a little bit with the caller. I do think that you can have impact in this moment, and I think you can enact some change or get the attention of leaders that you might not otherwise be able to get to. I have two lines open at 503-417-7575. We got a few people holding. We're going to take their calls right after this quick break. I want you to leave it right here. You got the bald-faced truth statement.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the bald-faced truth.
Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.